Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Yes, Ben Wiesinger for the petitioner, Selena Ramos-Martinez. The primary issue in this case, which is response to the petitioner's social group, I think is going to be disposed of by Your Honor's recent opinion in Diaz-Reynoso. In that case, the court clearly stated that a particular social group can be defined in part by using the harm feared as long as there is first an underlying immutable characteristic, in this case, gender. And the record is clear that women in Guatemala are treated, are subjugated by men and by the culture in general. And I want to point out a couple of very telling parts of the record where that statement is made obvious. And that part is 183 to 184, when the community, when Ramos's community was angry at her father, they wanted to take their anger out on Ramos, her sister, and her mother, stating that since Ramos's father was a rapist, they were going to do the same thing to her. In effect, these community members were threatening three innocent women with sexual violence because they knew they could get away with it. And that says a lot about the culture of Guatemala. And my client's brother, Hernan, testified that in our culture, women aren't allowed to do things on their own without permission from their husbands. So the error of the judge and the board in this case was twofold in discussing the social group and nexus. First, the error was that they separated Roberto's violence against my client from the community members' violence against my client, or threats of violence, when they are two symptoms of the same problem, which is that in Guatemala, women can be abused, raped, beaten with impunity.
Counsel.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Judge Battalion. I can just be brief. Diaz-Reynoso held that mention of harm does not defeat an otherwise cognizable social group. Setting that's quite different than being defined in part by harm. But setting that aside, what about the relocation finding here?
Internal relocation finding is irrelevant. It's a red herring in this case, of which there are a lot, because an internal relocation finding is irrelevant because there was no finding of past persecution on account of a protected ground.
Well, so just a minute. You said it's irrelevant, but you know that's one of the factors that go into a persecution. Is that if a petitioner claims persecution, then the issue arises of whether or not she can relocate to another part of the country, right? And the board made a finding on that, or the IJ. That relocation was an option in this case, and you don't seem to challenge that finding, do you?
It's because the neither the court nor the board found past persecution to begin with. Prior to any discussion of the reasonableness of relocation, first of all, it's the government's burden to show, and second of all, there has to be a presumption afforded to the
applicant. Just a minute. We do that all the time, in court, in district court and the court of appeals. In other words, we say, this cause of action has three elements. We can skip to the third element because that's easy to decide without deciding elements one and two. And so are you saying that in an immigration context, the IJ can say, well, I don't have to decide this, difficult question, social group, because even assuming she belongs to a protected social group and so forth, it doesn't matter because, you know, she could easily escape persecution by relocation. Are you saying an IJ can't take that route?
The problem is that the, and I agree with you in principle, Judge Tashima, the problem is the presumption afforded to somebody who has suffered past persecution is strong. And the government must then rebut that presumption using specific...
Well, wait a minute. Is there a presumption that relocation is not a viable option? I never heard of that presumption.
No, the presumption I'm referring to is that if you are found to have experienced past persecution, there is then the rebuttable presumption that you will experience future
persecution. Rebuttable presumption that what?
That you will experience future persecution throughout the country. And then it's the government's burden to rebut that. And so since...
And?
Since there was never a finding...
In this case, didn't the IJ find that was in effect rebutted because the IJ found that the petitioner could relocate to another part of the country?
Did she find that? I don't recall.
Well, you didn't challenge us. That's the problem. You didn't challenge whether she could relocate, and you didn't challenge the finding that your client was persecuted based on a protected group. At least that's what's alleged. So let's talk about what Judge Tsushima is talking about. That is that she could have relocated safely in Guatemala. Isn't that a finding that you have not challenged?
Your Honor, you're right. That is not part of my opening brief. You're right.
So have you conceded that by making it part of your opening brief? Because that's what the local rules say, says the guy from Omaha, Nebraska.
Your Honor, if I conceded that, and that it would in this court finds that is dispositive of the case, I will certainly encourage my client to fire me. And
yeah, but what good does that do her if she's in Guatemala, for God's sakes?
You're right. It won't do her any good.
Counsel, would you like to save some time for rebuttal?
I would, Your Honor.
We hear from the government.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. This court, my name is Victor Lawrence, and I represent the Attorney General. This court should deny this petition for review. With respect to the asylum and withholding findings, the board's primary dispositive holding was that Martinez did not meet her burden of establishing that the abuse from her father was on account of a protected ground. There was no nexus between the alleged persecution and a protected ground. And as some of the panel has just stated, there was not a challenge to that particular finding.
On the protected ground.
On the nexus, right?
That's correct. Right,
so my read of the record is this. My read of the record is that this individual father was brutally violent to lots and lots of people. Didn't seem to be discriminatory about his victims. And I think that's your strongest argument. There's also the relocation issue that we've just talked about. But I understand you to be arguing that she hasn't shown that what she suffered was on account of a protected ground. Is that it?
Well, yes. So where I was starting was the fact that is the board's primary dispositive finding, that there was no nexus between the alleged persecution and the protected ground. And because Mr. Weisinger or his client, Ms. Ramos, has not challenged that particular finding, he has waived it. And because he has waived a dispositive finding, the court, on that basis alone, may deny this petition with respect to the asylum withholding claims.
But isn't also his whole argument that she really isn't a protected group because she's in a group of women that are abused? Now, you say that's a circular argument, but isn't that really the crux, that she is in a protected group? Isn't that what he's really saying?
Well, yes, he is saying that, but there are two problems with that, Your Honor. First, He articulated four specific social groups all throughout the agency proceedings between the, before the immigration judge and the board. All of a sudden, when it comes to the appeal to the Ninth Circuit, he has merged all four of those groups into one general, somewhat vague group of just victims of domestic violence in Guatemala. Number one, you're not allowed to reformulate your social group on appeal. You have to argue the same thing before the immigration judge and the board. So already the fact
that because he didn't separate them out in his argument here, he's waived all of them.
Well, in a sense, he has, yes, because, but first of all, we don't even need to get to the social group issue because, again, the nexus finding is dispositive of everything. If you agreed that he waived that and he waived the relocation as well as waived the a claim for protection under Convention Against Torture. But even if you find that he, it's acceptable for him to reformulate the social group on appeal, which I think is against some precedent in the Ninth Circuit, he's, it's still not a social group that should be recognized. And it, you know, when he talks about, for instance, on page 25 of his brief, that his social group is victims of domestic violence in Guatemala, that group is exclusively defined by the people who have been persecuted. And that is against the court's precedent in Diaz-Reynoso, as I understand it, because it's an exclusive group of people who have been harmed, and therefore it's circular. And in accordance with matter of AB, it's not a permissible social group.
I'm just having a hard time with your circular argument, because if we say that women whose genitalia is mutilated is a social group, and we've done that, right?
No, that's not quite correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So that's different.
Well, in that decision that you're referring to, it starts with a K. I can't bring it up at this very moment.
Right.
But in that decision you're referring to, the group consisted of people who opposed the practice of female genitalia mutilation. It wasn't necessarily people who have been harmed. So
So they get asylum just for saying that they oppose it? Not that they're going to be harmed.
I'm not saying that they get asylum. I'm saying that that they have a better case to make that they have a particular social group that's legally cognizable. Here, we argue that the group that he has come up with, victims of domestic violence in Guatemala, is not a legally cognizable social group. But again,
would women that are victims of social violence be a cognizable social group? No, because they're the only ones being victimized.
That we would argue that is a circular description, and therefore, but again, Your Honor,
but if you're not victimized, then how do you get asylum?
Well, the best way to do it is to fit within one of the categories, which is
women that get assaulted.
Well, hang on. Some of the categories, as you know, on the protected grounds under the INA include race, sex, national origin.
Women aren't sex. That's not sex.
Well, again, he hasn't proceeded on that theory, sir. So he's proceeded on the theory of a particular social group. But again, all throughout the agency proceedings, he proceeded on four different social groups. He has not carried that forward in his brief to the Ninth Circuit. And therefore, it is fair to say that he waived his social group argument. But I don't want to spend too much time on the social group issue because I don't think it's relevant given that he's waived all the other independent dispositive findings of the board. So the court, for instance, in deciding this case, need not even determine whether the board's decision on social groups was correct.
So just help me because I'm just a country boy.
No.
But if Mr. Weisinger or Mr. Weisinger messed up, okay, and this woman loses her case, she's got no recourse because she's got to go back to Guatemala.
Well, you know, I'm not here to say that Mr. Weisinger messed up or not. It may have been a strategic
decision. I'm just asking you to assume that.
Okay, but I could easily also assume that it was a strategic decision that he made with his client not to pursue it in a certain way. I don't know.
Okay.
But if you find that it was a bad strategic decision, she could file a motion to reopen to claim ineffective assistance of counsel.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not suggesting to you that Mr. Weisinger has been ineffective by any means, but what I'm suggesting to you is she's not without recourse, as Your Honor seemed to suggest.
With the agency.
With the agency, correct. She would file a motion to reopen, suggest that her counsel was ineffective for not raising those issues. And I hold no opinion on whether or not that's the case.
And I'm not asking you to.
Right. And I'm merely pointing out in response to Your Honor's question that, in right. fact, she does have recourse. So I think, one thing that hasn't been discussed at all in petitioner's brief, because he was so focused on the particular social group issue, is the fact that her father's abuse really constitutes criminal behavior, which is unrelated to a protected ground. Similarly, with respect to the community members, what we're talking about here is personal retribution, which on its own is not recognized as a protected ground or a particular social group, people who have been subject to personal retribution. So because he has not challenged this important nexus of showing that and again, the government, recognizes that this is a very sympathetic case, that the facts are very severe with what's been alleged here.
And that's why you want to send her back to Guatemala.
Your Honor, I'm merely explaining why I think the board's decision was legally correct.
Okay.
And it was legally correct because there was an independent dispositive finding that there was no nexus between the persecution and protected ground. Lots of bad things happen to people in different countries, as we all know. But in order to get asylum in the United States, you have to show that it fits within one of the categories that the Immigration and Nationality Act sets forth. And that's what has not been done here. And that's why the court should deny this petition for review. Other than that, if the court doesn't have any further questions, I will rest on that point.
Thank you for your argument, counsel.
You're very welcome.
We'll hear rebuttal.
Thank you very much. I did not waive the nexus argument. It's on page 26 of my brief, where in a couple of different ways, I allege that it is, in fact, my client's femininity and women in general in Guatemala, their femininity, that are the motivating factors for people abusing them and committing femicide, domestic violence, et cetera, et cetera. So I would argue that is definitely not an issue that I waived. But
counsel, are you saying 26 of your opening brief, your blue brief? Yeah.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Unless there's any other questions from the judges, the only thing I have to say is that I really do love this area of the law, and I wish that you could meet my client. She's young, beautiful, intelligent, and her innocence was stolen from her by a culture, not by one man, but by a culture that subjugates women, by a culture that allows the abuse, the murder of and abuse of women with impunity. Gender is the immutable characteristic that we're talking about here. And it is so unfortunate that in an entire country, the overwhelming evidence in the record shows that women are treated as second-class citizens in Guatemala. And this court has recognized that in Perdomo versus Holder. And the agency, the Board of Immigration Appeals and this Attorney General, they've been trying to walk back. They've been trying to fight against that holding of gender being an immutable characteristic upon which a claim of asylum based on social group is firmly grounded. So with that, if there are no other questions, I thank the court for its time and the petitioner rests.
Thank you. We'll take this case under advisement. I thank both counsel for their arguments.
Thank you.
Good day, Your Honors.
Thank you.